No, we didn't. Okay, we're 200 at the bottom, 108 on top. We are in middle of the page. We're going to start midway in the page. But the last time we were learning, the Alter Rebbe asked the question. He said the whole time that if you learn Torah and do mitzvahs for the wrong reason, what actually happens is you lower it into evil. That means your learning becomes evil. Because you're learning it, you're using God for your personal gratification, for your personal greatness, for whatever personal glory, whatever it is. So the Alter Rebbe asks, but Hashem and Torah is one. So how can we say that if a person learns Torah for the wrong reasons, they lower Torah into evil, when Torah is at one thing with Hashem? So the Alter Rebbe began explaining, and that's where we went off last week in a greater discussion, and we learned that even though the difference between the higher worlds and the lower worlds, when it comes to the revelation of godliness, is not that godliness is different, it's just how many covers are covering him. Okay? Like we said, you can have the sun shining. Okay? If you have a more open area, a greater amount of the sun shines in. You have a lesser opening, less sun comes in. If you have a complete blockage with shutters and curtains and everything, you get no sunlight. The sun itself doesn't change. The sun is exactly the same, whether it's shining in the room or not shining in the room. The sun is completely not changed. What's the difference? The difference is only as far as the receivers are concerned. How much sunlight you get is based on what type of vessel you have. If you have a more open vessel, you're going to get more sunlight. You have a less open vessel, you're going to get less sunlight. You have no open vessel, you're not going to get any sunlight. Okay? He says that's the way it works with Hashem in the worlds. Those worlds that are subservient to Hashem and bottled to Hashem, that is the vessel for God to exist. And the analogy the Gemara gives and Chassidus elaborates on this is, if you have an empty cup, you could fill it up. A cup which is full, there's no room for anybody else, for anything else. A person who feels like an empty vessel, meaning they have humility and subservience and bittul, so then godliness can be filled in there. If the person is so full of themselves, then there's no room for God to exist. That's what the Gemara says about a haughty person. Hashem says, I cannot coexist with him. The Gemara says, because the person is so full of themselves, doesn't allow room for God. The reason why Atzilus is a greater revelation of godliness is because Atzilus is a more refined vessel. And if it's a more refined vessel, it's going to get more sunlight, and the receiver is going to handle it differently. The lower down it goes, the more concealment and coverage and lack of bittul exists, so the less godliness is going to be revealed. And that's what he says now. We're going to start like 12 lines in the top. The Gamzeis and also this, he's going to discuss what we just mentioned. The level of godliness comes into this concealment until it comes into this neutral level of evil. Lahachi is called Dvarim Tahedim Sheba'ilam Azeh, to give life to all the kosher, permissible things that exist in the world. Ubechlolim, and generally speaking, it refers to the Nefesh Achiyunis, the animal soul, which is the what's called the medaba, the person, the speaking part of the person. So he says like this, godliness comes down in the open level, is Kedusha. In a concealed level, it's evil. Now, what is the definition of evil? There's two categories in evil. There's an evil that you could be elevating, because Kedusha does shine in it, and there's a level of evil that's so concealed, there's absolutely no revelation of godliness in it. And he says like this, L'chein, Shemadaber is divrei Torah utfila. When a person speaks the words of Torah and davening, b'lei kavana, without intent, meaning here he's being in a negative way, you're doing it for your own personal gratification. He says, Av shein esis kedushas, even though they're holy letters, vein klip is nega. Shebenefesh achiyun is this level of neutral evil that the soul has. His mosach mavdol klal does not conceal. Lahastir ulachasis akdushosi is barchem lubishbem does not conceal completely the godliness that's in it, like it conceals kedusha. He's just reading. Shebenefesh achiyun shebederet. I'm going to read and translate it. Dvarim b'tevah shebenefesh achiyun shebshab alchem atayim. But nevertheless, it becomes concealed. Meaning like this. Holiness is a place where God is revealed. You do mitzvahs for the right purpose, you reveal holiness in yourself and in the world. Sometimes holiness comes down into lower things. Meaning, an apple, because that's what we were talking about before, an apple is not holy. Therefore, an apple in Hasidic language is evil. Because anything which is not holy is evil. An apple is not holy, and therefore it's evil. But it's not forbidden evil that godliness is so concealed there that you cannot elevate and reveal the godliness that's in it because it's still permissible. Then there's a level of godliness that comes down so low into forbidden objects that the godliness which is in the forbidden object is so connected to evil and bound to evil, no matter what you do with it, you cannot elevate it to Kedusha. In simple, practical language, in an apple, it's not holy. But because it's not forbidden, the godliness that's in the apple is feasible and possible to elevate and reveal. Okay? Therefore, we learned in Torah, in Hebrew, something permissible is called mutar. Mutar does not only mean permissible, mutar means untied. Why is something permissible called untied? Because the godliness that's in the apple is not bound to evil. It's there, it's loose, and therefore if you eat the apple with a bracha and you eat it for the right purposes, the godliness that's in the apple becomes revealed holiness, and therefore it becomes elevated to Kedusha. Then he says, there's another level of godliness that goes into complete evil. For instance, a pig is asur. Asur means forbidden. But Chassidus explains, asur also means tied. We say, Shemanasi mater asur. A prisoner is called asur. Okay? Why is a prisoner called asur? Because he's tied. That means, there is no question that there's godliness in a pig. Because if there wouldn't be godliness in a pig, it couldn't exist. It can't exist if there's no godliness in it. But the godliness that's in the pig is so bound and tied to evil, no matter what you do to the pig, you can never elevate that level of godliness. You can make a brach on the pig, you can eat it for the right purposes, you can daven and learn with the power of the pig that you ate. You know, now you're strong, you're able to do mitzvahs and do chesed and do a whole bunch of stuff. The godliness that's in the pig stays bound to evil and it can never be elevated. Even though it's godliness in it. Even though there's godliness in the pig, there's kedusha in the pig, but the kedusha is so bound to evil it doesn't go anywhere. And he says, 1 second, that's when a person learns for the wrong purposes, even though they're learning Torah, and Torah is holy, but they're actually lowering the Kedusha, the Torah, into evil. What?
So why is that pig? I understand that the godliness is completely, but why did Hashem do it this way? Like, what is about a pig that is, the Gainas is so concerned in it? Or what about all the Shalosh Kevat Pneot? What is it?
Why?
I'm going to conceal myself here.
Let me ask you another question. Are you allowed to benefit from a pig?
Yeah.
You could. Okay. That means you can't eat a pig, but you can use pig skin to play football, or you can make a pig skin shoes, and you can, and that is permissible to do, right? So if you, let's say, do that for holy purposes, then you are elevating it, the benefit of it. Then you have other objects, like meat and milk together is forbidden not only to eat, you can't even benefit from it, or Arla, or Chametz and Pesach, or any of these things. That means you can't even elevate the benefit of it. Okay? Which means, the Rebbe says this in a letter, but it's mentioned in a lot of places. I'll explain it. When something is forbidden, there's two aspects in a food, okay? There's the essence of the food and the food of the food. The nourishment of the food, yeah? Something which is forbidden to eat means you can't elevate the eating aspect of the food. That shows Kibbutz. But the complete evil didn't permeate the core of the pig, and therefore you could benefit from the pig. Something that the evil permeated the core of the object, that means you can't even benefit from it because you can't elevate any part of it. The pig could be elevated, not the eating aspect of the pig, but the benefit aspect of the pig could be elevated. Right? Now, why did God say the pig is treif? And the meat is kosher. That's the way he set it up. I don't know why this is kosher and this is treif. That could have made a pig kosher and a cow treif. But this, he said, you can eat. Why can you eat it? Because you can elevate it. If you can elevate it, that's why you're allowed to eat it. Why is food not allowed to be eaten? Because you can't elevate it. That's the way it works. According to Chassidus, why is this food kosher? Because you could elevate it. Why is this food not kosher? Because you can't elevate it. So God said, if you can't elevate it, you can't use it. Because the purpose of creation is to elevate the world. If you can't elevate it, then God says, what are you eating for? It's forbidden to eat. Or as we mentioned many times, there is a Chassidic philosophical question. There's stuff in the world which is kosher, and there's stuff in the world which is treif, right? Now, is everything in the world kosher, and God forbids certain things? Or is everything treif, and God permitted certain things? You understand the question? Things are kosher, things are treif. But philosophically, is everything treif, and God permitted certain things to be eaten? Or is everything permitted and God forbids certain things to be eaten? What's the answer?
What difference does it make?
What difference does it make? I'll tell you the difference, what it makes. Which one is it? You know what the difference is? Similar. Is everything kosher until proven treif? Or is everything treif until proven kosher? There's a big difference if everything is treif until proven kosher, or everything is kosher until proven treif. In other words, according to Chassidus, the answer is everything is treif, and Hashem permitted certain things because that we need to be elevated. Why? Why is that the proper way of looking at it? Because the truth is, a Jew, which has an neshama, part of God, holiness, and da-da-da-da, how do they come to deal with such low things as world? The neshama is all the way up there. The neshama comes all the way down here. Right? me igra rama from a high tower to a low, low, low pit. Okay? Why does the neshama come down? To elevate the world. That's the purpose of a neshama coming down. Meaning, really, a neshama doesn't belong in the world. The purpose and the reason why a neshama comes into the world, because Hashem wants a dwelling place down here, so He wants the physical world to be elevated. How in the world can you elevate the physical world? You need to be here in a physical body and eat and sleep and do all that stuff to be able to elevate the world. So the attitude of a Jew really should be, me and world are disconnected. Why am I here? Because Hashem wants me to elevate the world. If the other way is the attitude, that I'm here to enjoy life, and meanwhile God wants me to also elevate it, you have a whole different approach to life.
I'm supposed to enjoy life. I'm supposed to be in the world. I'm supposed to elevate it. You're supposed to have pleasure, and you're supposed to use everything Hashem gave you. Which will live for how long?
What does that mean?
The world was created for me.
No, what is it? Thank you. What does that mean? That every action you do affects the whole world. Okay, that's what the Rambam defines the mission to me. In other words, Chassidus says that certain things that Hashem made with very strong temptations. Okay? Eating, marital issues. Hashem made very strong taivis, very strong temptations. Says, why did God make sucks that the chase to eat? No, that's not true. Because if the person wouldn't have a desire and a temptation to eat, you wouldn't eat, and therefore all the food wouldn't become elevated. That if a person didn't have a taiva, procreation wouldn't exist. In other words, Hashem made, and really it's a pasuk in Tilim, that the men at least say Friday before Mincha in Haidu in Pasuk Leo, it says, and there's a maimer, there's a pasuk that says, Re'evim gam tzmeim, you're hungry, you're thirsty, nafshim v'em tisat, the soul is enclosed within them. So he explains, why is Re'evim gam tzmeim? Why is a person hungry and thirsty? Why? Because the soul is in them and wants to elevate the food. If you're not going to be hungry, you're not going to elevate the food. In fact, it's brought down in Sfarim that after Mashiach comes, when the job of refining the world is over, the things that were not elevated are going to come and complain to the Jew, why didn't you elevate me when you had the opportunity? So there are things that Hashem said, you can't elevate, therefore they're not kosher. You can't elevate even the benefit from it, therefore it's forbidden to benefit from. But other things Hashem says, utilize for the sake of Kedusha.
But
when Mashiach comes, Ruach HaTumah Avim, in order there will be no more Sholosh Kripot HaTumeis. What?
You just said that you can benefit, for example, from pigskin to play ball or something. But now you just said that the things that can't be elevated, you cannot benefit.
No, I said there are certain things you cannot eat. It means you cannot elevate the eating aspect of it. Okay. But you could elevate the benefit aspect, the core of it. Okay. And certain things, even the core, you can't. No, a pig, because it's permissible to benefit from, you could elevate it. But that eating aspect of it, the benefit of it. But this actually gives a whole different attitude and outlook of the person's role in world. The person's role in world is not to have a good time. Yes, we're not on a level that we cannot enjoy food. We're not on a level. But there's a difference between eating to live or living to eat. Living to eat is against Torah. Eating to live is what the Torah wants us to do. Huh? A little bit here and a little bit there.
I don't think most people are eating to live.
What are they eating?
They're eating because they enjoy it. It's also a social thing. It's
hungry.
An acceptable. Many people eat when they're not hungry. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're either living to eat. It's not, but there's a balance over there.
There is a balance. A person who only eats to live is a very holy person. But a person who only lives to eat is a fresser. So yeah, you need a balance between them to enjoy it, but that's not what the person's whole existence is in. That's all. We're not on the level, present company included, we're not on a level of only eating to live, and it doesn't matter what we eat, and it, you know, doesn't matter what it tastes like, and as long as we're eating food that can sustain us, that's all that matters. We're not on that level. Huh? Okay. So therefore he says like this, when a person learns Torah and davens, but for the wrong purposes, so even though the words of Torah are holy, nevertheless they are lowering it into evil. And that's the power of the Jew, by the way. A Jew has unbelievable power to make it or break it. Like Chassidus has an expression, the apple is klipas noiga, you know, the evil that you can elevate. It's only that level until the Jew touches it. The second the Jew touches the apple, it's either going to go up or it's going to go down. It's only neutral until you touch it. Once the Jew touches it, either going to eat it right with a bracha and everything and elevate it, or they're going to eat it the wrong way and lower it. And that's the power of the Jew. Only the Jew, by the way, only a Jew has the ability to elevate the world or lower the world. That's because we have a neshama and a guf, and Hashem put a part of himself into us, so we have that ability. And therefore he says like this. Start 7 lines in the bottom of the page. Bikama came eel steamin the chol steamin, Hashem is the hidden of all hidden. Vinikri kel mistater, he's called the hidden God. Vigam ha'arav is pashta sachayas mimani yisbarach. And therefore, many times the revelation of godliness, mistateres belevushim m'masochim rabim v'atsumim, can conceal itself in many garments, in many coverings, many and strong, meaning qualitatively and quantitatively, until it comes into evil. Okay? When you learn Torah properly, when you're doing learning Torah properly and davening properly, klipas noiga misapechus l'teiv. On the contrary, not only is Kedusha not lowering it into evil, but when you learn Torah properly, you're elevating the world to holiness. And therefore, it's brought down the Chassidus another interesting thing. Normally we know, when you do a mitzvah with a physical object, you elevate the physical object, right? It becomes holy. In Chassidus it says even more, when you learn about cows, in Gemara, let's say, you're elevating a cow. Just by learning about cows, you're elevating cows. You learn about garments, you're elevating garments. Now, Hashem made certain things that we can elevate. Hashem made certain things we cannot elevate. So why did He make them? If we cannot elevate them, why did Hashem make evil in the world? It's very simple. In order for good to be good, you need the opportunity to do evil. Right? If there's no evil, then there's no good. So Hashem made evil, Hashem made good. But Hashem says like this, the evil that I created, don't do. The pig, right? All those things that are forbidden, Hashem says, don't deal with them. Why? Because when you do evil, evil becomes stronger, you're feeding evil, evil becomes stronger, and therefore it opposes holiness more. If you don't feed evil, evil automatically weakens. If you don't feed something, it weakens. How do we feed evil? By doing evil. But if you don't do evil, then all the evil in the world becomes weaker. and then it doesn't conceal godliness as much. But when you do evil, because we have a godly soul within us, we are actually feeding and giving power to evil to contradict godliness. And the Hashem says, don't do it. By the way, non-Jews do not have the ability to elevate the world to Kedusha. Their role is to civilize the world for a Jew to be able to bring godliness into the world. In order to bring godliness into the world, you cannot do it in a jungle. If you have a jungle, you can't run a business. So what do you have? People organizing the office, and then the boss comes in and does the business. If the office is a mess and a pigsty, you can't function. So what are the seven Noach laws? Seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, basically to civilize the world. And then you can come in and bring Kedusha in it. But he says even Torah sometimes could come into lower levels. And then it says, even when you learn Torah for the wrong reasons, the godliness that's in the Torah lowers itself into evil because of your action. The Torah itself does not become impure, but the godliness that's in the Torah, you lowered now because you did it for the wrong purposes. You lowered it into complete evil, and therefore you need tshuva to be elevated. What? How do you know what? He says, if a person learns Torah to become famous, to become rich, to become, you know, glorified. No. Speaking when a person learns Torah for negative reasons. The ultimate purpose of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs is because God said so, period. Not to become knowledgeable, not to become smart, not to become... The reason is because Hashem said to learn. Sometimes when you use Torah for your own personal gratification, you know what you're basically doing? You're taking God's wisdom and utilizing God for what's in it for me, what's good for me. That's an embarrassment to God. That shouldn't be. Okay.